to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians will be in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll just go ahead and read the entire chapter. I want to focus particularly this morning on one verse. At least in this service, I want to focus on one verse today. But we'll read the whole chapter. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work." And Father, we thank you for the word of God that we've read. I pray you'd bless it to our hearts and our soul and our spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you would use the word of God today to help us to see what we need to see and understand what we need to understand. Lord, thank you for this opportunity, and thank you for the word of God that you've provided for us. And we just thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to call your attention to verse 10 of this chapter. "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." They received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. When we look at this passage of Scripture and we talk about what we would many times call the end times and everything like that, and there's a lot of things when people read, you know, when the Bible talks in the Bible about the day of the Lord and all that type of stuff, there's a lot of different opinions and everything that go along with this time. But regardless of where you fall on the spectrum of your understanding, obviously we believe in a premillennial return of Christ, and so we are premillennial in that regard, and we also believe and teach in a pre-tribulation rapture of the saints, or catching away of the saints, and we understand that. But whatever size or spectrum you may fall upon, or area you may fall in what is called in theological circles eschatology. Isn't it amazing how we always like come up with big words to just, you know, explain things? But it's and I'm not, you know, words are words, and it's not, I'm not against big words at all. But sometimes, you know, it's like our medical side. Sometimes we come up with terms that that kind of obscure to the average person things that need to be understood. They do it in medicine too, don't they? You know, they don't want you to understand about the medicine you're taking. You'd think they'd make it simple, not complicated, wouldn't you? But so we don't need to make the Bible complicated. And I'm not against theology or against theologians, as long as they believe the Bible. And if you're going to use a big word, you ought to explain it and make it understood. But what's more important is not that we understand the terminology that people use to describe things, but that we understand the Bible. That's what's important. Because one of the marks of that end time period is that these people would what? It says they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They did not receive the love of the truth. They rejected the love of the truth. And you can see that in our culture today. We sit there in our culture today, especially in our political culture. It's not about truth, is it? It's about a political ideology. All right? It's about control. It's about all these different things. You know, I was talking to Wednesday night. I was talking about it, and you know, they started out with different ideas. You know, when they had the George Floyd incident, and they came out and they had the Black Lives Matter movement, and everything like that. Well, they would say, you know, that if you said all lives matter, that was racist. Well, no, it's not. It's the very opposite of racist. It means everybody's equal, right? But if your idea is to subjugate people, then you have to change the narrative. So, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon, didn't they? And that because of that, they didn't receive the love of the truth. They bought that, and then we had the pandemic, and they started coming out with all the mandates and the vaccine mandates and everything, trying to literally coerce and force people to get the vaccination. They were threatening people's livelihoods and everything. So people came out against the mandate. And what did they call them? They're all anti-vaxxers. Well, they're not protesting vaccinations. They're protesting mandates. That's the truth, isn't it? Right? And now we have the business with Russia and Ukraine and all the things going on over there. And there's a lot of things that I honestly believe that the government is afraid is going to come out through all of this. And there's a lot of dangerous things over there. You know, there's talk that I haven't been able to 100% verify it, but there's some very credible people that are saying that this is true, that we have multiple biological research labs over there. You know, you'd think we'd learn our lesson with Wuhan, wouldn't we? But the whole point is, so, you know, our government may have skin in the game that they're looking at things that they don't want to come out and people to understand, especially after this pandemic. So you think about that. So now when you talk about, you know, you're not in favor of the war and getting involved in the war in Ukraine over there and everything like that, you're all now agents of Putin, right? Why? It's not a matter of truth, is it? Our culture has gotten that way. And it has gotten that way purposefully, because there is a end game here as far as the devil is concerned. And thankfully, his end game is not going to win. But the bottom line is, what we have to understand is the devil doesn't think he's going to win. He knows he's going to lose. And when certain events come down, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, he's going to have great wrath. Because why? He knows that his time is short. Isn't that what the Bible says? All right. So he has an end game, and it's not to win. His end game is to destroy. The thief coming not but to kill and to steal and to destroy. Alright? So that's the picture that we have there. And so we need to understand what's going on when it looks at our culture. And we need, but we have to, you would think that we would be people that would stand up for the truth, right? And we want that. Well, for us, truth begins with the Word of God. But I have a question for you. Where are all the stalwart Christians that stand for truth? Where are they in this day and age? Where are they? I mean, we have people in churches all over the place, and this is what I want you to understand and caution you about. We have people in churches all over in the United States of America. We're probably the most churched nation in the world. But where are the people standing for the truth? I mean, we went to the thing for the jail ministry because of the chaplain in the jail ministry. He's part of a organization, and we went to this thing, this mandatory thing that you have to go to in order to be able to go into the jail as a volunteer and be able to go into the jail, at, you know, even as your own church, because that's just the structure they have. So you have to deal with that and everything like that. But then they get a man up there talking about running around putting ashes on the head of the prisoners in there. So, you know, we go there and we're listening to a bunch of Catholic superstition. And if that offends anybody, I'm sorry, it is superstition. You know, if you think putting ashes on your head is some type of righteous act, and having a priest pronounce words over your head, all right, if you think that's some kind of righteous act that makes you right with God, then you don't understand the Bible at all, do you? Alright, there's a whole lot more than that. The only thing, ashes will not make you right before God. The only thing that makes you right before God is the blood of Christ. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own ashes? No, with his own blood. You okay, brother? Alright. With his own blood, right? And So we look at that, we ought to understand all of this, and we ought to see it. But notice what he said in verse 10 again, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. We also know that there are a lot of people that are in church houses that are not saved. Well, most of our mainline denominations, gone. Most of our mainline religious organizations are either dead or on their way to be dead. They're terminal. Why? Because of their rejection of the truth. And you would think that if people got into a church that was a Bible-believing church, whether it be small or whether it be large, and the truth was preached, that they would, there would be something to show for it. There would be a change. But the truth of the matter is, the problem is that worldly attitude of not receiving the love of the truth. That's a worldly thing. That is the work that the devil is doing. And he doesn't want us to want to preach the truth or live the truth. Why? Because he doesn't want people to be saved. I'm not taking away the responsibility of the individuals in the world to believe the truth and receive the love of the truth, but fewer people receive it if there are few people that live it and preach it. Isn't that true? Fewer people will hear it. And so I want you to think about that. What does it mean to love the truth? The stalwarts that I talked about, there's one mark of them that you can see, is that they loved the Word of God. We've got the words of Job up there. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, the Bible, the Word of God, is more important than my food. It's more important to feed my soul than it is to feed my body. It is more important. That's a love for the truth. That is a love for the truth. There was an old ministry years ago that used to have, they ran children's homes, and I'm not going to go into all the details of who and what and everything like that, but they had a thing that they taught the kids. They taught the kids Bible before breakfast. Yep. Bible before breakfast. Truth of the matter is, most people live breakfast before Bible, right? Breakfast before Bible, lunch before Bible, supper before Bible. And then I'm sleepy and I can't keep my eyes open to read. And the way it goes a lot of times in our culture today. People don't love the Bible. Now, think about love. Think about love. Think about love. When we use the term love, you know, we look at the term of love and we talk about the sacrifices of love, don't we? We get infatuated over a boy or a girl down the line, you know, as you're growing up and you find that person. And isn't it amazing what lengths, what you will neglect to do just so you can spend time with them? How many rash decisions have been made in our life because of what we called love? Then we grow up, we understand love, and we understand the love is biblically, love is defined by our deeds, isn't it? Love is defined by the convictions in our heart and the deeds that we commit. All right? How we treat people. All right? We understand about love, and we understand about loving one another. And in Romans, it tells us that all of those commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery, is briefly comprehended in this one saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, correct? It's the deed. It's not just saying, and it's not a feeling. It's what comes out of our life. It's action. And that type of love we're talking about. But you know, that commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, is paired with the great commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, right? So, when we talk about the love of the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God, obviously, and Jesus is God, and we understand that, so that all focuses into that commandment. And we ought to be the ones that have received the love of the truth, that we might be saved. And when we say that, when we talk about the love of the truth, Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? God's word is truth. If you read Psalm 119, there is the Psalm 119 has a theme running through it. That longest psalm in the Bible, right? It has a theme running through it. And obviously the entire theme of everything is focused on the Word of God. That psalm is focused upon the Word of God. That psalm has a message for us in so many respects, and it highlights the Word of God. And it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, right? So it's talking about the Word of God. And it talks about the law, it talks about the testimonies, it talks about the commandments, the statutes, the precepts of God. All of that combined to be the Word of God. But there is a theme there. And that theme is the love of the Word of God. And when we look at the world and we say the world does not love the Word of God, it's easy to see. But it's not just the world that is affected by the devil's desire and work to try to get people not to love the truth. Psalm 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." That lines up perfectly with John 17:17, doesn't it? "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." All right, he says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." But let's look at, go through the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 113. "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Psalm 119, verse 119. "Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies." Psalm 119, verse 127. "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." If you had a choice between the Bible and a pile of gold, 24 karat, 0.999, and you could only take one, which would you take? Something to think about, wouldn't it? Psalm 119, verse 159. "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." Psalm 119, verse 163. "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." You see the theme? It is a love for the Word of God. A proper love for the Word of God will get us to hate things that are in opposition to it. Will get us to despise that which is no good. And I'm not talking about hating people. I'm talking about hating these actions, these deeds. Not just in others, but especially in ourselves. Think about that. But he says this. He says, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." In other words, I'm going to take these vain thoughts that come out and I'm going to reject them, and I'm going to fill instead my mind with the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in the same psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not" what? "Sin against thee." I hate vain thoughts. "Thy law do I love." The Word of God I love. Every one of us has vain thoughts that we could do without. I could spend an hour or two just on this one thing about the Bible talks about us not imagining vain thoughts about our brethren. Right? You ever get to the point where you thought something about somebody and it turned out not to be true? But that thought you had about that person, especially a brother or sister in Christ, it just colored all of your actions. And you viewed all of their actions through the lens of that vain thought. And it caused discord and mistrust and all types of different things. It can get really wicked. But that's not the only thing we have vain thoughts about it. The Bible warns us about vainglory. Being puffed up, right? Thinking more of ourselves than we ought. I spend a lot of time on that. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Psalm 119, verse 119, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimony. I look at this world, and I see the work of the devil, I see the work of wicked men, I see the politics, I see it in the church houses, I see it everywhere, I see things happening. And I see the wicked, and I long for a day when all that's going to be gone, especially in my own heart and the things that I have to fight against the flesh and everything like that. But you know what? I can look into the Word of God and I can see the truth about what's going to happen. You know, the passage we're reading out of in 2 Thessalonians, it says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Right? That they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, there's coming a day of reckoning for the wicked, and there's coming a day when the wicked will be no more. Because God's going to judge the earth, and God, He says He's going to put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love thy testimonies. God's going to do right. He's going to do that. And He puts away the wicked either by salvation, redemption, right? Or judgment. Either people get redeemed or they get judged. Psalm 119, verse 127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. That kind of speaks for itself. What's the most important thing you have? What's the most important thing in your life? Is it your wealth? Is it your riches? Is it your money? Is that what you would guard with your life? Is that the most important thing? Is it the Word of God? You know, Jesus said it this way, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who shall commit to you the true riches, the heavenly riches? We're not to lay up our treasure on earth, lay up our treasure in heaven. You know, you ought to rejoice and be thankful for everything that God gives you, but that ought not be the most important thing, because what He gives you for here is just for here. It doesn't last forever. It's something to be invested in the true riches, in gathering the true riches. But too often we're more worried about our own pocketbooks rather than the Word of God, the condition of our hearts and souls. And I understand we all have to make a living and we all have to eat and all that type of stuff. But you know, God did tell us to consider the sparrows, right? Consider the lilies of the field. Our Heavenly Father feeds them, and our Heavenly Father clothes them. And then we're told, having therewith food and raiment, let's be there. Having therefore food and raiment, let's be there with content. We're to be careful. Be wary of perverse disputings of men supposing that gain is godliness. So we need to understand that. He said, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. The Word of God is the means by which we're sanctified. Obviously, we sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And it's the food that what we need in order to be able to grow and overcome sin and wickedness. The Word of God gives life. The Bible says that the earth fades away, right? Passes away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth for how long? Forever. Gives life. And then Psalm 119, verse 163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. People that love God's word are more apt to be able to see and spot a lie. People that love God, love truth. Have you ever noticed that people that love truth have a hard time with lies? Have you ever noticed that people who reject the truth, whether they be lost people or whether they be religious people or whatever they be, whether they be the most wicked among us or whether they be the most religious among us, they all buy into that because they don't love the truth, they buy into a lie. And that follows right back to our original text in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And what's that? God's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe what? A lie. Trying to get you to see the necessity of the Word of God, even more so in this day and age, to get to study the Word of God. To not just study it as a duty, but as a labor of love for God. We have to see that. We have to understand it. And the question I would have that you need to answer is, do you love God's word? Do you love the truth? You have to answer that question. And I'm not talking about having a family Bible that sits on your coffee table or someplace and it's dusted off and kept nice and pretty. I'm talking about one that's got worn and tattered edges from constant turning of the pages to read. I'm talking about one that sought through. I'm talking about one, if you used a computer and you were to go, or your phone. You know, I have a little thing on my phone. It pops up in this operating system and it says certain apps that use power. All those apps use power, right? I have a little notification that comes up every once in a while. It says, because of the way I have my phone configured, it comes up and it says, these applications are going to be put into sleep mode because they are not used very often. Obviously, I have it set up that way so I can find out whether or not I'm actually using an application, and I can dump it off my phone if I don't need it, right? And if you have something like that, or your phone has that default where it checks things that aren't being used often, says they're going to put them in a deep sleep mode or whatever, or let you know that you're not using them, those applications that you may have gotten, then is the Bible application on your phone, if you've got one, is that the one that pops up? Think about it. Does it get used? Do you love God's Word? The only way you can honestly love God's word is to study it, read it, and want to get it inside. Make it a part of you. Do you love the truth? Have you received the love of the truth? And if you haven't, the next question I'd ask is, are you even saved? Think about that. That's an important question, don't you think? You don't love God's word? Might be a greater problem in the way. And that's something to deal with now, because there's going to come a time when God's going to send a strong delusion that people that haven't received the love of the truth will believe a lie. God's going to make a division between the saved and the lost. You know, you look at the parable of the wheat and the tares. There's going to come a time when the tares are going to be gathered up and bundled. They're going to be separated from the wheat. So if you don't have love for the truth, for the Word of God, for the truth, then you might need to double check yourself. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Are you truly trusting Christ as your Savior? And by the way, if the thought of going to heaven, if am I going to heaven, if it comes up there and you begin listing all of your accomplishments and all the things that reasons why God should let you into heaven because of you, you've missed it. Because Jesus said, many shall come unto me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And his answer to them is, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Amen. Works that are done out of self-righteousness are dead works. You cannot save yourself. Only Christ can save you. Only Christ can save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, only His shed blood can wash away sin. No holy water, no baptismal water, no ashes. Only the blood of Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close this service. Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for each one. Help us, Lord, to love your word, to love the truth above all things. Help us to believe and understand the truth of your word. And Lord, even in the places where we don't necessarily understand the why and the how, help us to just yield ourselves and say, it's God's word, it's truth. And I'm not going to wait till I understand it fully to obey. I'm just going to love your word and say it's true. And Lord, help us to understand it properly. Above all, help us to love it. Lord, the truth is, if we don't love your word and we don't take the time to get it into our hearts, we'll never really understand. So help us, Lord, to love your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.